I'm going to move closer to you guys. Like Stacy said, I'm a children's minister, so I do not speak to adults very often. I also do not tape what I say most of the time, so that's real unusual for me. But anyway, I don't usually talk to adults, but I'm glad to have the opportunity to get to share some ideas that we have with you guys today. Did anybody recognize the music that was playing when you came in? Okay, Rachel. It was the High School Musical. And the reason I chose that, even though it's a really corny Disney movie, because it gives an example of how I think the church should work. Because in the movie, if you've seen it, they all work together as a team for a common goal, whether they're working on a basketball court or in a scholastic decathlon, they're all working together. And in 1 Corinthians 12, we read about how the church is a body and how each of us has a specific role, and not all of us has the same role. We all have different gifts, but we all work together for a common goal. And God's blessed us with a church family to help us along this journey, and we need to remember to work together as a church family. We need adults that are ready to reach out to our kids, and we need to teach our kids to reach out to adults and to their peers. If you're there last night, he talked a lot about how that people growing up in the church are not staying in the church. They're leaving as adults. And, of course, that's something that just is very hard for me, because none of us want to see that happen. So what we want to do is equip our kids with things that will keep them on the journey, continue on that journey. And we want them to teach them the love of God and a daily relationship with him. And one thing I think is really important is they need to know there's a place for them in the church family, that no matter what their age is or what their talent is, there's a place for them there. So what I'm going to do for the next few minutes are just share some ideas with you that we have used and have worked for us to draw your church closer together and to build relationships among your kids and your church family. And then at the end, I'm going to talk about how you can use some resources you already have in your church to help your church family all work together. Around the room, I and my family, Stacy already introduced my husband and my two girls, and they're going to show you guys some visuals. Some of them are kind of small, so that's why we have them around the room. Also, like using children, when you use your family, you're never quite sure what they will be doing. So just try to look at what they're showing you, and I'll try to keep right on talking. The first thing I want to share with you is something we do called Prayer Kids. And every August, we go to Mardell's and we buy these packages of kids. And I think they actually sell them to go on calendars. But what we do is, if for every child that's entering school that year, whether they be kindergarten or a year in college, we put their name on one of these little kids. And we put a magnet on the back of them. And then we place them out in the foyer on a whiteboard, which, just so you won't make the same mistake I did, I thought all whiteboards are magnetic, and they're not. You have to buy a specific board for that. And all we do is ask our congregation to pick one child off that board and pray for them the whole entire school year. Some of our families will pick one for each member of their family, and that's a family activity that they do, is pray for those students. Some of our college kids will pick a younger student and take them and pray for them. We ask that they place them somewhere they're going to see them every day, whether it's on their refrigerator, their computer, someplace where you see that little kid magnet every day, and pray for that student. And I cannot even begin to tell you the difference that one little thing has made. Those kids knowing that somebody is praying for them every day and them being lifted up every day has just been wonderful. Now, all we've asked them to do is pray, but of course you always have people that take it a little bit further. We had one lady that Katie had that was her prayer warrior all year, and at the end of the year she sent her a really sweet note telling her what a privilege she felt like it was to get to pray for all year. And I just can't begin to tell you how much that made Katie, how important that made her feel, that not only did that woman pray for her every day, but she sent her a note. One of the moms in our congregation wrote a blog this year about what it meant to her, and I asked her if I could share it with you, because to me it just says what our Prayer Kids is all about. I love how at church we get to choose names for children to pray. I think it's such an honor to pray, but yet pray specifically for one person's child and the struggles they may be going through. I always thought this was really neat because they didn't know who was praying for them. But this year it's going to be different because of one person for me. On Sunday, a woman came to me and told me she had chosen my daughter's name. I was honored that she had done so. Then she proceeded to ask me to send an email or stop her at church if there was anything specifically she could pray for. What a nice thought. She could have been praying and never said anything, and God would have still answered those prayers. But she wanted to lift my child up specifically in a very specific way during her prayer time. Well, if that helps her during her prayer time and gets one more prayer for my child to heaven, well, I think that's great. I couldn't think of anything specific at the time, but I received a note today from my daughter's teacher regarding some very big struggles she's having. I immediately thought of her prayer warrior, that I could email her to help me talk to God and seek His authority and wisdom in this matter. I was then at peace. Today, I'm going to contact the parents of the two children I chose to pray for and offer the same request. I hope it'll bring them as much comfort as it has me. I don't know who's praying for my boys, but I am, and I hope their prayer warriors are diligent this week in asking God to protect our kids. So right there, it just shows you what an example, what one little bitty thing, asking people to pray for a specific kid, has not only made a difference to our kids in the congregation, but it's made connections with the adults and made difference in parents' lives. Something else we do each year to reach out to our college students is we do college care packages. We do these for our kids, whether they're staying in town and going to college or going away. And we have our third, fourth, and fifth graders stay after services on a Sunday morning, and we eat lunch together. And then they decorate and fill these packages. As you can see, we start with Glad containers. And in the packages, we put things like toothpaste, Kleenex, popcorn, Post-it notes, candy, little deals of Play-Doh, anything we think a college kid might enjoy having. And the first few years that we did this, the college kids enjoyed getting the packages, but I didn't see any connections being made in our congregation with them. So we decided to change it a little bit, and we printed the addresses and the kids' names on index cards. I told you when you ask your family to help, you never know. And I asked people to help us with a project that specifically knew the college kids, knew about them. And so when the kids came in, they picked a name, and we started trying to help them connect with that college kid. We told them things they might have done at church. We told them who their parents were, where they went to school, what they were majoring in, things they liked to do. Well, when we started doing this, the kids started making a connection with these college kids. And when they started decorating them, they got so excited because they became very personalized. Brittany's is for a girl that's going to be a teacher, and so the little girl put math facts all over the top of it. We also asked them to think of scriptures that would be encouraging to them or just things that they could write on there. And so some of the kids have picked scriptures to put on there. Some of them have put things like, be sure and call your parents, eat your vegetables, stuff like that to encourage those kids. Well, when we started doing this, the college kids loved it because it was very personal for them. Oh, and the kids signed on the bottom who had packed their bag, their container for them. So they just loved it. And then the kids, we found the kids would go up to those kids at church. When those kids would come home from college, well, you know, a third and fourth and fifth grader, a lot of them will go right on up to those college kids. They felt like they had a connection with them. They knew all about them, and they would talk to them and make that connection with them, just over a little care package that we sent. The group that this has really made a big impact on is our divorced kids. We have several kids that are from divorced families, come by themselves to church, or come with grandparents. And over the years, this is the group that I've gotten a lot of feedback from over these boxes, because they just felt like, you know, they were really loved by the church family when they got those. And the one that I got back this year just kind of broke my heart and made me excited at the same time. A young girl had not been attending church since she went away to college. And she said when she got her package, she cried all the way back to the dorm because she realized that how much and how important the church family was in her life and how much she needed that, even though she was at college. So just a little Gladware box and some third, fourth, and fifth graders. Two things I want to share with you about these that might help you as you do them with your congregation is every congregation has a bargain shopper. We have one at Memorial. She can find things for a nickel, a dime, a quarter. You know, I can never do that. I always have to pay full price, but she can. And she helps me do some of the shopping so that we keep the price down. A lot of the kids also bring things to put in there because when they go out, they're packed all the way full, just as full as the kids can get them. And the other thing is the mailing, which is the expensive part of this project. But now they've got those boxes that everything you can put in there, you can mail for four something. So just get your Gladware where it'll fit in that box. And we have even in the past, sometimes when our finances were low, asked adult classes if they would share in the project with us. They've passed an envelope around and collected change. I mean, that goes a long way into paying for your postage. And I don't know how big your congregation is. We sent out, 30-something college boxes this year. We send them to our kids, and we also send them, if somebody in the congregation has a granddaughter or somebody that they really feel like could use some encouraging, we add those to our list also. But anyway, this has just been it's a fun project and a real easy way to reach out to your college kids and your kids in your children's ministry. Another project that we do that we don't do every year, but we do it occasionally, is we do something for our veterans in the congregation, for those people who have served and made it possible for the freedoms we enjoy. And the last time we did this, they're holding up what we made. We made red, white, and blue ornaments. And this, I love this activity because no matter what you do, they come out gorgeous, and the kids love to do them. We took those clear Christmas bulbs, and you coat the inside with rubbing alcohol, let it drain out, and then you put a little bit of paint in, roll it around, put another color, roll it around, another color, roll it around, and then you stick it upside down in a cup and let the extra paint run out, and you've got a decorated Christmas bulb. And like I said, there's no way the kids can mess them up, and they love them. They love making them. And it's a neat gift for your veterans. And then we had the kids decorate sacks, and they put their gift inside. And on a Sunday morning, we chose the 4th of July, but you could do it on Memorial Day or Veterans Day or any day. We ask all of our veterans in the congregation to stand during Sunday morning services. And the kids each took them a bag. They gave them a hug, and they thanked them for what they had done. And I just want to prepare you, because that morning I had big, tough men with tears rolling down their eyes on that Sunday morning. It really touched them what the kids had done. And to this day, I see some of those men search out those kids for their hug every Sunday morning because of that. So it's just a little bitty something that showed sometimes people that you might not normally appreciate in your congregation. And there again, made a connection between our kids and someone else in the congregation. Something else that I have done a lot of that we all like to get is sending cards. And it's something that we all enjoy getting, but we don't spend a lot of time training our kids to do that. And I actually started doing it because at Memorial, we have kids that show up as early as 15 minutes before class and as late as 15 minutes after class. And I'm sure you do too. And I wanted something to do where I could sit there and visit with the kids and get to know them, but something that was also worthwhile for them to do. So we started doing cards. And again, just like with the college kids, we tried to tell them something about those people, something that helped them connect with that person, what they were going through, who they were in the congregation, somebody that they might connect to that face to that person. And sometimes we do letters, and for some of my kids, it's more of a picture than a lot of words. But they're getting to where they write more things, and they're so much from their heart when they do. I'm sure all of you know Terry. His wife Mary was sick about a year ago, and the kids wrote her letters. And they were so neat about how much she meant to them and stuff. And then of course, being kids, they also wrote in, and your husband is really funny, and he does silly things all the time, and, you know, stuff like that also in there. And, of course, Terry loved that, and he was able to use that in a sermon one Sunday morning, which, again, made the kids, made their day. Another thing that we've done, which you guys might remember these from when you were a kid, making the chains that you put on the Christmas tree and on the thing. When the kids come in, we give them 3 or 4 slips of paper, and we ask them to write things on them. And some of them will write messages like, we miss you, get well soon, smiley faces. Some of them will put jokes. Now, remember, these are kid jokes. You know, what's black and white and red all over? A newspaper, and stuff like that. But then when we get them all together, we put them all together, and we put them in a box, and we mail them. And we received a note from a lady that had received one. Her husband can't attend church as much as because of his health, and she can't come because of that. And she told the kids how they hung it in their dining room, And every day they would go by and see it, and it would make them know that they were missed. And it also, when they were feeling blue, they would read the jokes and the silly things on there, and it would brighten their day. It's just a simple something that we all like to get. And some of the kids have started writing notes on their own. It's just something that we can train our kids to do at a very early age, but can reach out to the whole congregation and make connections. We had a very sweet, sweet lady that passed away just not too long ago, and one of the things she did was write notes to a lot of us. Her hands were where they could hardly write, but yet she knew how important it was for us to get those notes. And I think it's just something we can start teaching our kids to do also. What I've shared with you so far are things that, just little things that we have used to try to make connections across our congregation. And what I want to do now is show you some ideas that you can use some talents in your congregation to make them a part of your children's ministry, to help them feel connected to your children in your children's ministry, and where your children don't always see people that have a gift for working with kids, because not all these kids are going to grow up with that gift. But they can see how they can use other gifts to be a part of the whole team working together. And the first thing I want to talk about is the catalog you got. This is, did everybody get a catalog? This catalog is actually from a place called Fitness Finders. And they were kind enough to send me the examples to show you, but with, along with that, they wanted me to hand out their catalog. So what I want you to look at is there's feet tokens or foot tokens, however you want to call it, that are on here. And they've sent us one that's a camouflage, a glow-in-the-dark, a pastel, a teal, a freckle one, 10-toes one, and, of course, their big toe one. And then the other package has some other tokens that they sell. And what I do is when I teach Bible Hour during worship time, we talk about following in the steps of Jesus. And we want to be kind and respectful and loving in everything we do. We want to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. Well, at our congregation at Memorial, we have a wide range of children. We have churched and unchurched. We have poor, rich. We have gifted. We have special needs. And when you put all that together, sometimes you have discipline problems and behavior problems. And I was looking for a new way to try to take care of that in a very positive way. And as Stacy said, I multitask mostly because I can't stay focused on one thing long enough. So I also substitute teaching. When I went into the school, the PE teacher was handing out these little foot tokens, and the kids were so proud of them. I mean, you ask them about them, and they could tell you all about their foot tokens. And so it gave me an idea. I thought, well, if they're that excited about them in PE, what if we use those to talk about the footsteps of Jesus and use those as a reward system? So I'm going to preface that by saying I don't like to keep track of rewards. That's just not something I enjoy doing. And I don't like to do anything that takes away from my teaching time. So I was out to find the easiest way I could to use these foot tokens to help with my discipline problems and my behavior, not really discipline, behavior problems, but not take away from my teaching time. So we got film canisters, and I know those are rare items these days, but sometimes you can still find some. And if not, pill bottles work too. And the kids decorated them with stickers. And then on the top, we put the kids' names. And this is where they kept their foot tokens. And when they earned 15, they got to put them on a bracelet or a necklace or a keychain. And you'll also find those in your fitness finders deal. So we began our lessons on walking in the footsteps of Jesus. And that's what the kids do with them during class. So in our class, once they put them in there, they have to set them under their chair so we don't have all that. So whenever they were caught doing something that Jesus would do, whether they were helping, they were listening, they participated, whatever they were doing, they might be handed a foot token. Now, if they pointed it out to the teacher, they didn't get a foot token. It had to be they were caught doing it. We also used them if they were having behavior problems that day, they were given a warning, and the second warning, they lost a foot token. We've done this 3 years, and I've taken away 2 tokens during that time. They work great. We don't use them all year long. I usually start with them in September and go about 6 months with them so they don't get tired of it. But that's the time of the year we do a lot of training because it's a new group of kids and that kind of stuff, so we use them then. And like I said earlier, I don't like to keep track of rewards. So what I did was I got an older member in our congregation that loved to teach, but she just wasn't able to anymore. And she comes in, and she helps the kids find their canisters every week. She helps them if they've earned enough to string them. She helps new kids make one, and I go right on teaching. And she takes care of all that for me. And then at the end of class, when they turn their canisters back in, she checks the lids so nobody falls out, and she has a kind word for each one of them. So you're sure everybody in your class that day, someone spoke directly to them. Because I don't know how your Bible hours are, but ours run 40 to 50 kids sometimes. So it's hard to always be able to get a personal, but that way I know everybody was spoke to that day when they leave. It's worked great for me. It's a great reward system that's working with our kids, and it helps them focus on being like Jesus. It's cut way back on my discipline problems. It uses an older member, and the kids have become attached to her when she's in there all the time. I even, one week she was absent, and I had one of the little boys come up. He was real concerned why she wasn't there, you know. She was just as part of our class as anything else, and it made her feel useful. Sometimes I do everything during my class that everybody earns a foot token that week, so that everybody has weeks that they're successful. But they have to work at it to earn 15. They don't just get them. And when you look in your book, you'll see they're not the cheapest type of token you can find. But what I do is if they don't earn 15, they don't get to take them home. So starting over in September, we start over again. I just recycle foot tokens. So therefore, you know, it cuts down a little bit on the expense. But for me, it's been worth it. It's been fun. The kids love it. And when I love to hear them leave Bible hour and go, I earned all my foot tokens today. And their parents say, well, how did you do that? Well, I was acting like Jesus today, and I did, you know, and I've done that. To me, that's been worth the expense, you know, for the foot tokens. And now I'm going to go on and talk a little bit how I would do a lesson that day. If any of you have attended Eric Brunson's classes, he talks a lot about using reading from the text when you work with kids. And I'll be real honest with you. I always was one of those that had my Bible with me, but I did not actually read from the text with my kids. I just didn't think I could keep their attention by doing that. But Brad is an excellent storyteller, and he has different voices and stuff. And so he came in and started doing that. And you will be amazed. Those kids do listen. And it's a big difference for them to hear the story. You can review it again after you've read it from the text, but read it from the text. And what we did is, since I wasn't sure about their attention span and stuff, he would read a certain amount, and then we would have the kids tell us what he had read. And Katie here, who is a college student, who artistic ability is not her forte, as you will see. But the kids in our congregation love her. And she has a bag of markers, her special markers, and they think her drawings are wonderful. And so they would tell her what to draw. And at first we found out this was really hard for the kids because they weren't listening. They wanted to just tell us the whole story. But when we made them stop and listen to each verse, what it was saying, she would draw the pictures. When we did it, we have a place where we can put up magnetic things. And so we put magnets on the back and we hung them across the room. And then we would have the kids, we'd take some and mix them up and have the kids fix them. Or we'd have them, oh, here they go. Or we would have them put them in order. We'd take them all down and put them in order. And you can also use a clothesline to do this if you don't have the magnetics. And one thing I did by accident one day is I asked siblings, I asked brother-sister teams to work together on this project. And I didn't think that much about it. And I had a mother stop me and say, wow, you don't know what that difference that made, because they came home talking about how they worked together as a brother-sister to do that. Some little bitty something, but it made a big impact on those kids, because usually, she goes, usually they're fighting, or, you know, she said, but they were so excited about how they had worked together to do that. So in that lesson that day, I did a real easy lesson, used a college student. I forgot to tell you, I also had two sixth graders that came in that day. And while we were doing the lesson, they would watch for kids that were doing, acting like Jesus, and they would just hand them a foot token during the lesson. So during my lesson that day, I had used a college student, a storyteller, two sixth graders. My kids got to see all of them, you know, maybe people they wouldn't have normally, you know, known. for us as a family. Oh, I forgot to tell you what Brittany does sometimes. Brittany comes in and teaches praise songs, and I don't know what my problem is. I did great on the kids' songs with the actions, but when it comes to some of the praise songs, I do not get them. You know, I just have struggles learning all the motions. So I sit with the kids and learn the motions and the song with them, and they love it because I'm just part just like them. And Brittany comes in and teaches some of the praise songs that the teens sing and stuff that have actions to them, and so they love that. So as you can tell, we work together as a family a lot, and that has been such a blessing for us because it's something we all do together at church. When the boyfriend came in, he had to fit in. So if you've got somebody you want to get rid of, you know, if they can't fit into your family thing, you know, but he has, you know, so I guess we're going to have to keep him. Another thing I'm doing right now is I'm teaching a third, fourth, and fifth grade girls class. And I've had different women in the congregation come in and teach the class with me, women that have all different talents. This couple of weeks ago, I don't know if y'all have probably noticed the decorations in the pavilion, the stage, and then on the tables there's flowers and stuff. There's a lady in our congregation that's her job. She decorates the stage, she decorates the tables and stuff. A lot of people in our congregation don't even have any idea that she does it. Well, she came in, and that night she worked with the girls, and then she let the girls help her make the flowers that she put on the tables in the pavilion. So they were a part of workshop. You know, they had a job, and they got to participate in something that they may not have even known about that job, you know, the talent that this lady has. Stacy is excellent she does our 2 and 3 year old Bible hour, and we have a lot of young kids that want to help in Bible hour. You know, they're too old, but they're not always a lot of help. So what she has done, and I think is an excellent idea, is she saves her craft, and she has them sit in the back, and they cut the craft out. Well, then they're watching people that are good helpers work with your... So they're learning. They've got a job. Then when she gets ready to do her craft, she's got all these extra hands with the 2s and 3s to do her craft. So, you know, she's made them feel useful. She's also training our future, you know, helpers. She also has already started her... second and fourth grader have already started doing puppets. You know, so it's never, when your kids show an interest, it's never too young to start teaching them things that they can do in the church. We have several husband-wife teams at Memorial that we are blessed with. And I tell you, that has been great for a lot of their marriages. We have one couple that we just dearly love. And they both did things in the congregation, but they didn't do anything together. And she was really praying for something that they could do together. And they are our dynamic baby team. I mean, they run our baby program. Stacy and I hardly even look that way because they take care of it. She teaches, and he holds them. He walks the floor. They adore Mr. Dennis. They adore him. And it is great for their... When you see them, they're just... It's just good for them and for their marriage, and it's great for our babies, I tell you. I'm going to end by talking about Vacation Bible School, and I did a whole talk on it last year, so I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but it is one of the things in our congregation that really pulls our congregation together and gets everybody working for something. We have a 6-person team that does our vacation. We don't have just one director. We have 6 people that work in a team. And because of that, they pull from different areas of the congregation, so we involve a lot more people. We have older adults that don't get around as well as they used to, but you know what? They have the smilingest faces at our registration table, and they are the best storytellers. And we have teens that lead groups and play games. We have grandmas and young married girls that work side by side doing refreshments. And we use this time as a lot of training for our kids. My kids gave me a blunt awakening one day when I asked them to do something and I was upset with them, and they were like, "You never showed us how." And it really made me stop and think, so many times we expect people to do things, but we don't show them how, especially in the church. And so we use VBS a lot to train people, to give them a chance to help out. You know, they're not a lifelong commitment. It's a 4-day, you know, commitment, but to train them to do those things. Many families work together. My favorite story is last year I had a whole center done by college kids, and most of the kids in that group had worked alongside a parent somewhere along the line. And they did a center that I'm telling you I wouldn't have done. They made stepping stones with those kids. and you talk about a big mess. And they loved it, and they did a great job, and the kids loved it. But, you know, it was something that I personally would have never ventured out to do because it wasn't, you know, because I'm not a craft. It was messy. So you know, that's the way to grow your kids and grow your congregation together. And I've talked fast, I know, and I've given you a few ideas that I hope you can take back home and use. Most of them are really simple. You know, they're not big complex ideas, but they've really helped us grow our church family together. And the thing I really want to remind you of is that any of you that work with children, you are a very important tool in the church. You have a very important job. You work in a mission field all the time. And it's one you may never see the fruit from in this life, but God's asked us just to plant the seeds along the journey. And you can do it, and you can get your church family to walk right along with you. So I just want to encourage you to do that. And thank you very much for coming. And if you have any questions or anything, we'll be here, and we'll be glad to share anything. So thank you, guys.